All right, it is good to see everyone today. We want to praise God for this privilege of assembling on the Lord's Day, Sunday, May 26, 2019, Memorial Day weekend. I hope if you're listening by way of the internet, you've taken time to remember, as we have taken time to remember in our service today, the ultimate sacrifice paid by so many Americans so that Leo Doyle can stand here and share the Word of God today and so that you can listen in freedom. Let us never forget, let us never take for granted all that has been done for us, and God bless America today. We are still one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The title of today's message, If the Will of God Be So, Part 2, we are still looking at the purpose, the plan, the productivity of the hardships and difficulties that God allows to come into our life. Suffering results in blessing. That is a biblical principle. And the greatest suffering ever known to mankind, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought the greatest blessing ever known to humanity, salvation by the blood of Jesus and the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross. No human being ever suffered like the Lord did on that cross for the sins of all humanity. And as the result of that suffering, Jesus Christ purchased for us our salvation. He is our example, He is our forerunner, and He is our pattern. And so today we continue to look at what is the purpose of the suffering in our own lives, the hardships that we will face at times. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16 says this, "Having a good conscience, that wherein they may speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good behavior and conduct in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing." So sometimes it is the will of God that we go through suffering and hardship even when we're doing well, even when we're living right smack dab in the middle of God's will. And a lot of times we think, what am I doing wrong? Everything's turning against me. My friend, you may be doing exactly everything right, but God is trying to work out something in you and for you. So you grab hold of that. Don't jump to that conclusion. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, the scripture says this, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness and you are burdened and you are having to carry manifold and many temptations and trials and hardships and difficulties. These are the trials and the purgings and the purifyings of your faith." Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin. I pray for a cleansing. Weekly sin that I confess unto you out loud in the prayer closet. And Father, I want to thank you that following my confession, I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I pray for that cleansing today, that anointing, that filling of your Spirit to share your truth with these wonderful folks today. And whatever anyone is dealing with today, physically, emotionally, family situations, job situations, discouragement, depression, whatever they may be carrying today, Father, they are not alone. You are with them. And Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, deepen us and strengthen us and draw us ever nearer unto you. Again, Lord, I pray for your anointing. Take over, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher. We need not the words of man. We need from you today. In the quietness of this moment, we pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, what do I need to hear from you today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hear our prayer. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. If the will of God be so, sometimes I am to suffer. If I need to be in heaviness through trials and tribulations and seasons of difficulty, It is needed for my spiritual life. So the first thing I want you to understand, you may be going through a difficult time today. You may be going through a hardship today. You may be in pain today physically. You may be in pain today emotionally. And I want you to understand, it is all part of God's wisdom and God's plan for you according to those two verses I just read. This is not my opinion. I'm not making this up. This is truth. It is God's plan and purpose for us that sometimes we go through difficulty. I'll tell you why in a moment, but the first part is that it can definitely be the will of God for your life. Now go back to Isaiah 48. We were there last week, but let's go back there again. And in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9, the scripture says this. For my name's sake, he's speaking to the nation of Israel, I will defer mine anger. And for my praise, I will refrain from bringing judgment upon thee, and I will not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen to teach you in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. You are my called. You are my chosen. I am he. I am your God. I am the first and I am the last. And in verse 10, I have refined you, I have purified you, I have proven you, I have grown you, and I have strengthened you in the furnace of affliction. Anytime God allows us to go through or places us in the furnace of affliction, in trial, in hardship, in difficulty, it is first for the purifying and the strengthening of our faith and our character and our conduct. So go there first. Say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to work out of me? What is it that you're trying to work in me? Because my friend, when we don't go through difficult times, a lot of times we will not stop and make a self-assessment of our own lives spiritually. So when you're in the trial of affliction or the furnace, or you're in a season of hardship, it would be good to stop belly aching, whining, and complaining and begging God to get you out of it and refocus the energy of your prayer into introspection and assessment. Let that be a part of it. It's not the only part of it, but it is definitely one part of it. And that's why you see Isaiah say it and then Peter say it. That when we're going through trial and temptation, sorrow and difficulty, it is a refining process. It's for refining. It's for cleansing. It's for working out weaknesses. It's for exposing the cracks in the crucible. So always say, okay, Lord, you've got my attention. I'm going through a difficult time. What is it you're trying to work in me and trying to work out of me? Now, there's something else too. Go to Psalm 119. And these are verses we weren't able to cover last week. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 71, the scripture says this. The psalmist says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So I'm going to close this verse out a little bit early. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn something. I want you to understand, my friend, you know what God wants for you? He wants you to learn a whole lot of things about Him. He wants you to learn a whole lot of things about His Word. He wants you to learn a whole lot of things about His promises. He wants you to learn a whole lot of things about His character, about His faithfulness, about His power, about His healing, about His miracles, about His strength. And you know the only way you can learn those things is by going through these things. There's no way Bobby and Sue Webb know that God is a miracle-working, healing God. You've got to get sick. You've got to get hurt. You've got to get to a place where the doctors say to baby Xander, we don't think he's got a chance. That's the only way you learn. Amen. The only way you learn that only the wisdom of God can get you out of a situation is when you find yourself in a situation and there is no good answer. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know which way to go. And then because you get alone with God and you seek Him and you're in trouble and you don't know which way to go, the Lord speaks to you, and that's how you learn to get the wisdom of God. Amen. Yes. God wants you to learn certain things in your life spiritually. God wants you to learn a lot of things in your life spiritually. And the only way you learn them is in the classroom of affliction. That's the only way we learn. Now, look at what he says in this psalm. Go to verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept your word. When everything was going good for me, Lord, I was disobedient. When everything went good for me in my life, I was just living my own life. I want to praise God. There have been people that if it were not for hardships, if it were not for difficulties, they would have never turned their lives over to Jesus. The saddest situation in the world is a lost sinner that never experiences a hard time and never finds out he needs Jesus. Amen. And so he says, before I was afflicted, I was going my own way. And it was good for me that I was afflicted. You know something? Everybody in this room has that same testimony. You say, are you sure, Brother Leo? I know I'm sure. I look back on all the hard times in my life, and all I can say now is I just want to thank you, Jesus, for getting us through. I want to thank you, Jesus, for what I learned about you. I want to thank you, Jesus, for how you changed my life. I'm more grateful today for the way my life is right now because of a lot of things I've been through, and you are too. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm not waking up in the hospital. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, I don't have a feeding tube running to my jugular. You know, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't have this black cloud hanging over our family. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. I want to thank you for that. It is those times that make us more grateful Christians, more appreciative Christians, more content Christians. And that's one thing God wants you to learn. Gratitude, contentment, thanksgiving. And that's the only way you can learn. That's the only way you can learn. I feel sorry for folks that can look you in the eye and say, you know, I've just never needed Jesus. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. I knew I needed Jesus when I got saved as a young man. But boy, as I've gone through my life, I know I need Jesus. Amen. Yes. And it's only through these situations. Look at what verse 75 says. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. And that you in faithfulness have afflicted me. You in faithfulness have afflicted me. So what's he saying there? He's saying, Lord, you know I know I was belly aching. Lord, I know I was running from you. Lord, I know I was whining and I was complaining. But now that I look back on it, I see that you meant it the whole time for my good. You allowed this to come into my life because you love me, because you're faithful to me, because you were trying to accomplish things in my life spiritually. Those are three verses, my friend. Let me read them to you again. Verse 71, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. And then you come down here to verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgment, everything you do is right, Lord. You've got a plan, Lord. I trust your plan now because even in your faithfulness, you afflicted me because you have the best plan for my life. You learn all that. And then it's so much easier to say, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Let me show you. It's so wonderful to have that wisdom, to have that understanding, and to have that perspective. You know, to be able to say, you know I'm going through a hard time now. Boy, this is hard. I wish we were out of it. I wish God would deliver us. I wish God would change things. But Lord, if you're going to allow us to stay in this thing, Father, do your work in my life and do your work in the life of my loved ones. You know, it's just like Patty's situation right now. Her tumbling down those stairs. She's not learning a lot. I'm learning a lot. You know. There's a lot of pain she's going through. There's a lot of pain I'm going through with her. I mean, all these things affect all of us. Just like what Tony said. You know, the church family gets to be a blessing to Sandra and Tony as they go through a difficult time. It's an opportunity for somebody else to get blessed. So our whole perspective changes when we gain this wisdom. But let me show you what's natural to us. Go with me to Matthew 16. And God understands, because He made us, and He knows we're in a fallen condition. But let me show you what's natural to us. This is Peter, and then I'll show you Paul. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus says this. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things. He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things. The plan of the Heavenly Father for the Son was that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and he's going to be killed on a cross and raised again the third day. But Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, O Lord, this shall not happen unto you. But he turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense unto me. For you savor and value not the things that be of God, you value the things that be of the way a man thinks. So, one perspective on suffering and hardship is, okay, Lord, you teach me, you show me, I know you're working out something wonderful in my life. As opposed to this perspective, which is natural, which is how we will always pray when we run into a tough situation right off. And we can quote Peter here in verse 22. We'll say, Lord, let this thing be far from us. This shall not be unto us. Lord, take it away. Lord, get us out of this. Lord, help us to avoid this altogether. That's natural. That's human nature. I don't want somebody taking a lighter and burning my arm with it. I'm going to try to flee from it. I'm going to try to jerk away. It is human nature to try to jerk away. And we're going to say, Lord, let us avoid this. Get us out of this. Take this away from us. Now, God may do it. Or He may rebuke us. Or He may say unto us this. Look at what the Lord says in verse 23. You value the things of men, but this thing is of God. The plan, the wisdom, and the purpose of the suffering of Jesus Christ was God's way to accomplish the mission of Jesus on earth. the suffering, the crucifixion, the heartache, the denial, the betrayal, the scourgings, the being spit upon, the crown of thorns, all that suffering, 3 hours of having to turn away from the sun, all the agony spiritually and physically laid upon Jesus was the plan, the wisdom, and the purpose of God for Jesus completing his mission here on earth. And I want you to understand, my friend, sometimes it's part of God's plan for us to complete our mission here on earth. It is part of God's wisdom and plan for us to grow, for us to increase in strength, for us to become steadfast, to persevere, to gain wisdom, to strengthen our faith, and to glorify him in our witness. So sometimes you're going to go through difficult times. And you say, "Brother Leo, boy, I hope I'm ready." Well, be getting ready now. Don't be neglecting the spiritual discipline of the study of the Word, devotional time, prayer time, assembling yourself, all those kind of things. You know, we want to keep our children away from hard times and difficulties. I want you to understand something, my friend. It is when our children go through the hard times and difficulties that they learn a lot about themselves. It's how they grow up. And it's how we grow up spiritually. I know what it's like to be scared. I can remember being a fifth grader and being scared, and an eighth grader and being scared, and a ninth grader and being scared. I learned a whole lot in school about what I was going to have to face in life. I learned about people picking on you, people being mean to you. I learned about times not being treated fairly. We live in a culture today when anytime something like that happens, everybody goes crazy. Well, guess what? That's life. We live in an unfair world. We live where adults bully adults. We live where stuff doesn't go right in the workplace. We live where the culture thinks that what's good is bad and what's bad is good. And we need to learn to be able to navigate those things in the wisdom and in the strength of God and by our faith. I had somebody tell me after last week's message, they came up to me and were sharing with me, said, "Man, that was the greatest message, because we really try to shelter our children from a lot of things that, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't get sheltered from it. My parents told me to go back and face the music." That's what this individual told me. And my friend, our Heavenly Father deals with us the same way. And not only does he allow us to face the music, he's there with us. And he'll strengthen us. And he's working things out for us. But our first thing is take it away. Take it away. Take it away. But look what verse 20. It wasn't man's way, but it was God's way. Verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer." There is a necessity of suffering for Jesus to accomplish the mission. And there is a necessity of hardship in my life for me to become the man God wants me to become. Amen. And once we gain this perspective, we'll get more value out of the things we go through. There are times we've gone through difficult times. We bellyache so much that we don't gain what God's trying to get us to gain through it. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you Paul. And I had a revelation on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Paul's talking about the thorn in the flesh. And he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." All right, that's human nature. Now that thorn, all right, verse 7, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. That Greek word actually means stake, like you take a stake and you drive it into the ground. So there was something that had been driven in his mind. The pain was like something that had been driven into his flesh. and it was a constant and a continual pain and irritation. It wasn't something that really came and went. It was pretty consistent malady that he was dealing with. And so he says this, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might..." He prayed three times that God would take it away. Now, I want you to understand something. We don't have a lot of details about Paul's prayer life. But when I tell you I prayed that God would take something away three times, your first thought's going to be, "Lord Jesus, I've got a pain in my stomach. I pray you take it away." And then on Tuesday, I say, "Lord Jesus, I got a pain in my stomach. I pray you take it away." And then on Friday, I got a feeling when Paul prayed about something, he may have fasted, and me may have got alone with the Lord all night long praying that God would take this thing away. You know, I think about E.M. Bounds. When he had something he had to pray about, he would go get away sometimes for a week. He'd take his saddle up his horse. He was a Civil War chaplain. And he'd go sit by a creek, and he would pray for a week over one thing and barely eat. He'd drink, but he would barely eat. And you know, so what Paul's saying is, I believe he had three faithful, strong prayer sessions asking God to take this thing away. He didn't throw up some half-hearted Hail Mary while his mind was on 10 other things like most people pray today. So it was a focused, direct prayer, you know, where he fasted and prayed probably three times for God to take this away. So I just want you to know, anytime you run into a tough situation, it's okay to pray, "God, take it away. God, get us out of this." That is a viable prayer. That's an option. And that's the first option. But goodness gracious, wake up. It ain't the only option. So what happens next? He asked God to take it away, that it might depart from me. And that's, God understands that reaction. But what was God's answer? Now, this is where we fall short. You know, if you're going to get an answer from God, you must have a pretty serious prayer. When you're throwing up these half-hearted Hail Marys, that's why you don't get an answer. But Paul got an answer, so it must have been a focused prayer. Now, this is God's answer in verse 9. "And the Lord said unto him," Paul, "I'm not taking this thing away. But you're going to learn something. You're going to learn that my grace is sufficient for you, and that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you're going to learn you got to depend on me. And I'm going to leave this thing in your life," verse 7, "so that you will stay humble," look at what it says, "unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundant revelations I had, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me." And he says it again, "lest I should be exalted and caught up in pride." So what is God's answer? There is a purpose. There is a plan for you. You're going to carry out this thing. You're going to carry this thing. And I am going to use it in your life to keep you dependent on me so that you do not get caught up in pride and so that you conduct yourself in humility. And Bobby, that's the only way he could do it. And that's the only way we can do it. There has to be things that come into our lives to humble us. Now, I want to tell you something. And I don't have to ask for a show of hands. How many of you do not want to get caught up in pride? None of us. Because you know what the proverb writer says? Pride is one of the things God hates. Amen. God hates pride. I sure don't want pride ruling my life. And that's exactly what Paul was saying there. God said, "Look, Paul, you're going to carry this thing. You're going to experience this thing so that pride will never rule in your life." And so then Paul can say, Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will rejoice in this suffering. I will be grateful for this. I take pleasure in this infirmity, verse 10, in this reproach, in this need, in this distress. Because of this, I am going to draw near to Christ. I am going to grow in my faith. And I am going to be the Christian God wants me to be. And you know what our problem is? We never get the answer. Because we don't seek it. I've even heard people say, you know, you never ask God why. What do you mean you never ask God why? It's all through the Word of God. Paul, you know, I need to stop and say, okay, Lord Jesus, you're not taking this thing away. You're still allowing me to be in it. So, okay, Lord, why are you allowing me to continue in this burden? Why are you allowing? What is it that you're trying to work out in my life and for my life? That's a great question unto God. And then it turns around your whole perspective on why you're going through a hardship. You can look at your children and they can be crying to you and saying, you know, this is terrible, this is hard. Well, God's allowed it to come into your life. And I believe He's trying to bless you through it because the Word of God says so. And I might not can tell you as well as Brother Leo, but we'll get out the tape and we'll listen to it. But what I want you to understand is this. You know, God is trying to bless you. He's going to work out something for you. And you're going to learn something about yourself, about God, about life as you go through this thing. It makes us better parents and grandparents. And it makes us better friends. But the thing we've got to understand is we never get to the answer because we're not seeking the answer. A lot of times we just get caught up in an attitude of defeatism. Oh, it's never, this is how it's always going to be. If I hear another Christian say that to me, this is how it's always going to be, Brother Leo. I just don't think I'm ever going to get better, Brother Leo. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Leo's going to get better. One day Brother Leo's going to exhale here and inhale there, and he's going to be a whole lot better. This is not how it's always going to be. I have already reckoned that the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared with the glory that I'm going to experience in the future. And you say, Brother Leo, you seem to get agitated and irritated. These people have been in church all their lives and they know nothing. What are they doing? And I'm not even blaming it on the preacher. There are people that come here that have heard this guy for 20-something years that know nothing. Sometimes, if need be, what did Paul gain? Paul learned that our weakness draws us closer to God. Our weaknesses draw us closer to God. Paul learned that the hardship, the disease, the pain was given by God for His good. And Paul learned the correct prayer. Not just let it depart from me, but God, what is your purpose in this? Three things that's the only way you learn it. That's the only way you learn it. There is a reason for the hardships that we go through. There's a reason for the hardships that we've been through. You know, what have we gained? My friend, you can look back over your life right now. And you can see that you have gained much through the difficult times. God desires to give you a genuine understanding of why you're going through what you're going through. But you have not because you ask not. It's okay to pray, God, take it away. Let it depart from me. Get us out of it. But don't let that be your only prayer. say, okay, Lord, we're here. You're with me. What is it you're trying to teach me? What is it that I need to learn about this? Lord's specific. You know, there are specific things He's trying to work out for all of us. That's how personal He is. That's how intimate He is. And that's how well He knows us. Better than we know ourselves. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes.